I'll tell you what, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I really don't know what's next for me, says Aaron Rodgers.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now.
Peter King.
Aaron Rodgers has 3 years left on his contract. Brian Gutekunst is just going to say, hey, listen, let's give this a month. Everybody just calm down.
Earlier on the show, Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. Coming up, Chargers head coach Brandon Staley. From NBC Sports, Michelle Tafoya. Plus, actor Aldis Hodge. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're going to have Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. He's been making the rounds. We're pleased to have us part of his round.
Nice.
As we're on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California. We've been on there on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate network for several months. And
bolt up.
I'm assuming I'm talking, you know, obviously it's throughout Southern California, all the way up, way north of here, too. I am suing it. I'm Chargers fans feeling you all the way down in San Diego. I don't know how many fans there are of the Chargers down in San Diego still, or they're just like forgotten and out of here.
But react to me.
React to me. Oh, my God. Good old Hacksaw, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget driving here in Southern California, and Hacksaw was on, I guess, the Mighty 1090 back in the day, right? And I was listening to him on the way home from NFL Network, and we had... It was me, Mike Del Tufo, and 10 other people, I think, that launched that network in 2003. Yes, but you, Mike, were just, you know, barely paying attention to what we were saying and just pushing buttons and moving things like
no,
that.
No,
don't even. You don't have to say that.
Okay.
But we had a news. It was our news operation. We were literally, if I'm not mistaken, in 2003. I don't know how to look this up. There is Google for it. But I do believe Google News had just been created.
Oh, wow.
Google News.
All right, it was a newfangled thing.
The Google machine.
So we would, before leaving the office, we would Google News like the NFL. We would just put NFL and right. Hit Google News and see what came up. There was no
That's so funny.
Fantastic, as it is right now, news operation, news desk with all sorts of different reporters across the country, you know. We didn't have, this was pre-Schefter. Schefter didn't join us till like year one, year two. Like, we didn't have a news person.
Google alert.
To reach out. It's really what it was. We Google News the NFL and hoped that we didn't miss anything on the, and so we would tape NFL Total Access. We would do it live awesome. At 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock at night is when it first started. And then we would go home.
Yeah, we would actually tape.
That's it. We didn't have anybody news updating or anything like that. It was nope. just, and we would re-air it. And hope it
stuck.
Was evergreen.
Lived.
And I remember driving home, I'd put on Hacksaw and I would hear him, you know, and everything for him was like a newsmaker line or like Dateline Miami, Dolphins. Stay tuned. And I would white knuckle the steering wheel thinking, do I have to go back home? Do I have to call Susie and say I'm not coming home? And it would invariably be, you know, like newsmaker line, the Miami Dolphins. Have hired a new assistant general manager. Like he would be announcing who the Costanza was, the Dolphin staff, and I'd have to keep going on. Like I would be so nervous. Now look at us. We're getting ready to move into a new place. I think total. I think game day morning. That was our last one there, Chris.
Wow.
That was our last one. Next year we're going to be in the new home of the Rams and the Chargers. So I'll tell Brandon Staley, look, amazing. My parking spot's mine. Yours is yours. Let's just be fine with it.
Now, because you have tenure, do you get
on Brandon Staley
and Sean McVay? Do you get a closer spot than these guys?
Yeah, he's right next to Kroenke. It's richer than Kroenke. I mean,
great question.
Yeah, I think
great
that's
question.
Work I mean, that up the flagpole. Yeah.
Great question.
You know, because
think about it.
Dude, we're looking at almost 20 years.
You know what this reminds me of? This is what we're. I'll tell this story too. Since at the beginning of ESPN, okay. Oh. Have I told the story on here? I definitely have told you this story before about when I first started at ESPN in 1996. Okay, I'm 26 years old.
Okay.
And I go and I saw the person who was in charge of the schedules.
Okay.
Okay. The person in charge of the schedules of all the on-air SportsCenter anchors, of which there was about probably at the time only about 20. All right, there weren't, not like now where there's tons of people who are doing it.
Right.
But at any rate, I walked in, I went in there, and I told her, like, look, I know I've just walked in the door, but I do have, you know, like a vacation that I've already scheduled. I didn't know I was going to have this job, and I paid for it, and
yeah.
I, you know.
Yeah, seems I
just came from Reading. I was truly making $8 an hour doing my job, and I'm like, I can't cancel. I've got to go. I've spent the money. And it's kind of crazy. I've got my dream job, but I'm asking for a week off within 2 months of me arriving. But I have to do this.
It's bold, Cotton.
So I did that. And they were like, cool with it. I'm like, no problem. So I had the week off.
Amazing.
Correct. They're like, is there anything else that we need to know? And I'm like, sure. Like, for the Jewish holidays, like, is it time for me to do this right now? And she's like, absolutely, let's figure it out. So we looked up when Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were, and we looked at it, and I could not get Yom Kippur off because, again, it was a smaller group of SportsCenter anchors. They were like, we can't give the day off to more than just two of you. So they couldn't give me off the highest of holidays. And I'm like, okay, well, who's, I thought Steve Levy and Linda Cohn, like, who else? I'm going to my
Charlie
head.
Steiner?
I'm like, Charlie, I get it. Like, and she told me, no, the two people was, I think it was Steve Levy and Jack Edwards.
Edwards.
And I'm like, yeah, Jack nice. Edwards?
Like
is,
a Gentile.
Jack yeah. Edwards is yeah. taking off Yom Kippur. Well, he married into the faith and was taking the day off. And this is the conversation I had. Have I never told you this story?
I don't know if I've heard this. This is the conversation
I had. Where I'm 26. I just asked for a vacation. All right. But it was granted, but I just felt I had to do this. And I'm like, Jack Edwards, they explained to me that he's converted and this is important to him and he's taken the day off. And I'm like, but can I get it? And it's like, no, he's got tenure. He's been here a long time. You just walked in the door. And I'm like, yes, but I'm more tenured as a Jew. Does that count?
By the way, great like, argument.
That's a great
that's
argument.
A great like, argument.
If we're talking about tenure here at the company, I lose. If we're talking about tenure as a Jewish person, I win. Like this is like
it's not even a vote.
80-0.
Yeah, right,
you know, like look at the scoreboard.
Right.
You know, I was bar mitzvahed 13 years ago. By the way,
how did that go over?
Which I was 26. Like, it was summarily rejected.
Wet balloon. Yeah. Got
it. And as it turned out, like when it came to it, they just gave me the day off anyway.
Oh.
But that was the conversation when I first.
I would have been laughing.
And that's what this whole thing reminds me of here.
Yeah. I mean. Who would you even go to? Is that a Rogers situation or is that
what,
Stan?
What, for the parking lot? I mean, because again, like I know.
I mean, Stan owns the building.
I know I'm more, they're more tenured because Staley was the defensive coordinator for the Rams. They're more tenured than I am at that facility.
True.
They've been there.
But
right?
I'm more tenured as an NFL
employee,
you know,
person.
Right,
yes.
Right. All encompassing.
Oh, I absolutely have got to go to the commissioner for it. And there's no question about it. Next time he comes on this program,
we're gonna ask him.
I will absolutely use the real estate to ask the commissioner to help me get the parking spot at the new spot closer to the building than the two head coaches of the team.
Rich, Brockman only wants to know so he can use your spot for the game. When we go to the games.
Yeah, you could charge.
Be gone.
Oh. You know, I would slip you something, I think. Yeah.
Like a, you know?
Yeah, I could slip you for
a little parking pass, a little something.
Because, I mean, I already have a parking VIP spot.
You know what? I might have to consider that for the two of you guys. But when you flip your tickets to somebody else?
They don't get it.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh. No chance. So do I bring this up with Staley? Right now?
Yeah, ask him where his spot is.
Yeah, where does he park?
I'm curious.
Okay. I mean, this is Los Angeles.
I got to think.
Well, parking is premium here in town.
I was talking to somebody because, you know, they turned Dodger Stadium from a testing site into also a vaccine site. And somebody told me that they went there. And I'm like, so do you have to go inside the stadium? Or they're like, no, you stay in your car. I'm like, just like every time you go to Dodger Stadium. You don't ever get out of your car. Sit there for hours.
Does Frank McCourt still get a cut?
Probably. 10% of Moderna?
Yeah. I was like, well, Pfizer stock?
Okay, do you have your news update over there?
I got a few.
Okay, let's say a few minutes here. Chris Brockman with a news update here on the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, we've got to get through this in the next few minutes because I can't tell Brandon Staley we were late for him because I was telling the story about Jack Edwards getting Yom Kippur over me in 1996, okay? Can't say I went down a high holiday wormhole, okay?
High holiday wormhole. That's
great.
A good
one. Very good.
That's a good fantasy. Okay, saw this morning. We've been talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers for the last day or two. And
yes,
his post-game comments looked pretty dejected. Questioned his future with the team. So
yes.
Packers CEO Mark Murphy was on something called the Fifth Quarter Show on WNFL in Green Bay.
There you go.
Talked about Rodgers' comments. And I quote, "We're not idiots. Aaron Rodgers will be back. He's our leader." So I think that shuts the door on.
Well, I mean, he's got, again,
Rodgers,
they've got 3 years left on the contract. Yeah. And he, you know, and it's crazy how day two of the news cycle is now blowing back on Aaron Rodgers. There were two possessions. He went 3 and out after they picked off Brady. That was before the 4th and 8 that he wasn't allowed to take the snap for. And they got the two picks and
they went 3 and out both times.
And how come all season long it was just like no big deal about the drafting of Jordan Love, and then they lose and all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's not like he made it a big deal. He just chuckled when he said, including me, we're talking about the future.
Right.
And he doesn't know what his future holds. You know what I'm saying? So he'll be back at 2021, but clearly everything is seen through the prism of not going as all in for him, roster and everything, as was for Brady and anybody. You're seeing also coming out of Green Bay a lot of table pounding for Gutekunst actually putting pieces together for Rodgers, that's a false narrative, that he's done nothing for him. Although the best pieces of real estate a general manager could use to improve a team is a first and second round draft choice, I would say.
Best QB, best wide receiver draft in a long time last year. Didn't take a single one.
Next news cycle comes when Aaron Rodgers decides to speak again.
Yeah.
What else you got over there,
Whenever
Chris?
That may be. And we're going to talk to Chargers head coach Brandon Staley in a second.
Yes, sir.
He's a defensive guy, been the Rams DC for
although
a while.
A former quarterback of the Dayton Flyers.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
He hired an OC. It's Joe Lombardi.
Yes.
Former Lions OC. He's with the Saints for a long time as their QB coach. Joe Lombardi is going to be the tasked with nurturing Justin Herbert into a superstar.
And you know where Joe Lombardi comes from on the Brandon Staley radar screen? Brandon Staley was a quarterback at the University of Dayton for 2 years. And then for his final year of eligibility, have you ever heard of Mercyhurst University in Erie, Pennsylvania? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, he was a quarterback there. Do you know who his offense? You have heard of that? Have
I'm
you heard
from
of
Pennsylvania?
Person? Okay,
yeah.
So you have heard of that,
yeah,
correct?
Of
okay.
Mercyhurst.
I should have turned to the
I lived
the
at
Keystone
Erie
Stater.
When I was 1 year old.
Well, you know who his a play caller was in his senior year, Joe Lombardi.
How about that?
Isn't it crazy how jobs are acquired
NFL,
and whatever?
Yeah,
and so I guess he's been around Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Here you go. He gets a Justin Herbert golden ticket.
Rock on.
And you know how I've been having my fun that Darrell Bevel got the golden ticket
Urban Meyer.
Next to Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. Apparently, Bevel's departure is what caused Stafford to say, "I'm out of here." That's the reporting out of Detroit, that he wanted Bevel to stay. And when Bevel's gone, he's just like, okay, that's that. I'm out. And that was before the kneecap biting and the hunk
and
taken
the hunk,
and all
hunk,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
With no teeth, right? They got their teeth kicked in.
I can't keep track of it, man.
And then that's how they're taking
the hunk
out.
I'm not a dentist. I'm a host, Chris.
Some Super Bowl injury
I've
news.
I've never said those words.
Super Bowl injury news, as we're still less than 2 weeks away.
Yes, sir.
Looks like Le'Veon Bell and Sammy Watkins are gonna be okay to go for the Chiefs.
They're going.
Antonio Brown should be okay as Antoine Winfield Jr. That's a big one. That's a biggie. They're going to need him.
Isn't it
expected
amazing?
Expected to be ready, according to Diana Rossini.
I guess, you know, you're like, you know what? I don't mind seeing Brady and Gronk in a Super Bowl because he won you so much.
So much.
Cool. I wonder, Steelers fans, what do you think of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell being in this game?
And Bruce Arians.
What do you think? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. That's a way for you to As a Jet fan, I'm pissed seeing Le'Veon Bell in the Super Bowl. I wonder what a Steeler fan would think.
And it would have been Paul Newman's birthday today.
Oh, man.
1925.
Wow. All right, I want to talk about that a little later. How does that sound?
I like it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial, because we need to be on time for Brandon Staley, baby. The Los Angeles Charger head coach has no idea. I'm going to talk parking with him coming up. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a moment, but the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers is on the phone line. His name is Brandon Staley. How are you, Coach?
Thanks so much for having me, Rich. Doing great.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for being here on the program. Okay, let's get right into it here. When did you first know that you could were winding up on the Chargers radar screen? Coach, when did that first come about for you?
Rich, I think, you know, later in the season, I think towards, you know, towards the back half of it, you know, you kind of become aware that you may have a chance to compete, you know, that you're a name that, you know, is on people's radars, but, you know, I think we were just, we were in the thick of things. So, you know, I didn't know, you know, if that interest, you know, was serious or not, but I knew that we were having a great run. So, you know, I knew that, you know, there was a potential possibility that maybe I could get some interviews, but I didn't know if, I didn't have a strong sense at that point whether or not, it, you know, it could become a reality.
And now here it is, a reality, and, part of the job, obviously, the large responsibility is to help Justin Herbert continue rolling on the manner in which he rolled on. And the funny thing is, I'm sure as you would attest, so many people are like, well, why are you hiring a defensive coordinator when you got to have Justin Herbert? But you're a quarterback first and foremost, are you not, sir? Correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what I played, and I feel like that's how I coach. I coach, you know, through the eyes of that position, and I feel like that's been the, you know, kind of the hallmark of my defensive coaching career for sure. And I think what I'm so excited about, Rich, is now being able to, you know, help all three phases of the game, but specifically, you know, our quarterback who, as you know, as everyone knows, is really, really unique and really special.
Yeah, I mean, to go from James Madison to John Carroll to the Bears to the Broncos to the Rams to the Chargers. I mean, you've had a lot of different uniforms that you've worn over the last couple of years. What do you make of this journey, Brandon? Do you sit back and wonder about how you've ascended so quickly in the coaching profession? Did you take that minute?
You know, Rich, I think you know there's I think what it represents for me is just a purpose that I've tried to been, you know, that I've tried to compete with really my whole life, but just trying to, you know, earn as many opportunities that are going to help my game overall and where I can, you know, become the best version of myself. You know, that's been something that I've been really intentional about since I was a little kid. And I think, you know, you never know what your path's going to be. You just got to be ready for the path. And that's what I've tried to do, is take advantage of the opportunities that I've been given, and, you know, just try and really work at my game. So hopefully when you do get an opportunity like this one, that you're ready for it, you know. And I think, you know, my path may not make sense to people on the outside, but I think to me and the people that are close to me, it makes perfect sense.
How does it make perfect sense to you and everyone close to you? Walk me through that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, all the experiences I had working, you know, really just as a kid all the way up, and, you know, a lot of personal stuff, and then just, you know, the professional side of things, I was able to have a global lens of the game, you know, coaching every position on defense, being a former quarterback, having access to the NFL where you're in college, but you kind of have this double education going. And I felt so close to the NFL my whole career. It's not like I just started, you know, learning about the NFL 4 years ago. I mean, it's been a dream of mine to coach in this league for a long time. And I was working at it so that, you know, if I did get an opportunity, that I would be ready for it. And I think along the way, all those experiences at those schools that you mentioned, they helped shape me as a leader, as a coach. And, you know, I think that when I got to the NFL right away, I knew, hey, you know, I have the stuff to be able to take it, you know, a long way here and do it at a high level.
Brandon Staley, L.A. Chargers head coach, new head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. How did you first get on Vic Fangio's radar screen? How did that happen for you?
Yeah, so, you know, a good friend of mine, Dave Ragone, who just got the offensive coordinator job with Atlanta. Dave, you know, was a quarterback for the Houston Texans and when Vic was the D coordinator. So their relationship went back a ways. And then they hooked up together in Chicago when Dave was the quarterback coach. And, you know, Vic was looking for a young outside linebacker coach that he could kind of groom. You know, that's the position that he coached. And Dave and I are Cleveland guys. You know, we're both from the same neck of the woods. And, you know, one of our best friends was my head coach at John Carroll. And he knew that the defense that we had been running, you know, I patterned a lot of it after Vic's defenses in San Francisco. You know, a lot of our teach tape, a lot of the, you know, the stuff that I had, you know, tried to incorporate was from Vic. I just had so much respect from afar. And, you know, Dave knew that, and he felt like, you know, it could be a really good fit. And when I was able to get in front of Vic, you know, just certainly an opportunity of a lifetime. And, you know, he means so much to me.
And, you know, in your second year there in Chicago, out of the sky comes Khalil Mack. Then you follow Vic to Denver, and there's Von Miller. And then you go to the Rams, and there's Aaron Donald. And now you're here, and there's Joey Bosa. You know that doesn't happen, right, usually?
One of my favorite people is Ed Donatell, and he reminds me of that often. he reminds me of that often, and he stays with it. He doesn't ever let me, right, you know, forget it. So yeah, you know, you know the great fortune you have, and at the same time, you know, Rich, as you also know, you have great responsibility when you're coaching guys like that. You know, so I think that that's been such a blessing for me, is to be around guys like that. Because I've learned a lot more from them than they've probably learned from me.
So, you know, and then interesting, part of the reason why I want to find out about how you wound up on Fangio's radar screen is, you know, I was looking up because, you know, Coach, this might be our first conversation. I am a lead pipe wielding professional, so I like to be prepared. You know, I found out Joe Lombardi and you go way back. I'll be honest with you. I've not heard of Mercyhurst before I hit the Google machine, but is that where you guys, is that where you know him from? He was your coach when you were the quarterback there? Is that it?
Yeah, I you know, I played 4 years at Dayton, Rich, you know, started there and was captain. And then after our mom passed away, you know, I have a twin brother who played at Mercyhurst. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of said, hey, we're going to join up for, you know, our fifth year and play together, you know. So I went to Mercyhurst, and I didn't know who Joe was at that time, but mm-hmm. he was my offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, and that really started an amazing relationship. You know, I learned so much from him that year, and then just when he went to the NFL, just always stayed in touch, and, you know, that was a way that I stayed connected to the NFL, and I felt like I was learning the game through the eyes of Drew Brees, you know, as a young guy, and, you know, I'm just so thankful for him, you know, and now we get to team up together. It's really special.
It is. I mean, it's crazy. He's your offensive coordinator, your head coach in the NFL in Southern California. which didn't even, you know, wasn't even on the Chargers radar screen, let alone maybe the NFL's when you were going through your first experience with Charlie. It's unbelievable, Brandon. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's like I said, you know, I think I'm hopefully an example that dreams come true, and that hopefully if you surround yourself with good people, you know, everyone says that, but, you know, if you do that and you do it with the right way, with a lot of purpose and a lot of care, that good things can happen.
Okay. Brandon Staley, L.A. Chargers head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. So is it safe to then say that what we saw, the offense of Sean Payton's and obviously what Joe Lombardi's able to put together, is what you are putting into place here in Los Angeles for one of the most talented rookie quarterbacks we've ever seen? Is that a safe assumption?
Yeah. Well, what, you know, I think certainly our foundation with the way we want to play is New Orleans. You know, I think that what we're going to do and why I'm so excited to team up with Joe is that he has a really large inventory, you know, to work with to shape this offense around Justin. You know, and I think that was so – what was special about interviewing Joe for this role was just, you know, the knowing how they shaped that offense, you know, Sean and Pete Carmichael for Drew, you know, and making it uniquely Drew's. And, you know, now we have this opportunity to shape a new offense around Justin Herbert because, you know, Justin and Drew are very different players. You know, Drew's first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks to ever throw a football and lead a team. But Justin is different than he is. And so our offense has to look different. And I think that that's what we're so excited about, is being able to shape it, you know, around him, but also knowing that, hey, you know, one of the premium offenses in the NFL of the last 15 years, you know, that's going to be our starting point. So, you know, just I'm excited for Joe and Justin to connect, and we're going to put a fantastic staff around him. And as you know, it's a team game. It's us being able to, you know, put a team together in all three phases. And but I think that, you know, as you said, Justin Herbert is an awfully good place to start, and I'm excited for him and Joe to team up.
Then Los Angelinos had a front row seat to your defense this year and how shut down it was and how remarkable it was. And now, is that the type of defense and the scheme that we're expecting to see? You hired Ronaldo Hill from the Broncos staff, who I'm assuming you knew from your days there. How can we draw a through line based on what we saw here in Los Angeles for the co-tenants of your same home, Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. You know, I'm so excited to team up with R. Hill. As you know, 10-year vet, and, you know, was a tremendous player in the league, a former seventh-round pick that played, you know, over a decade in the NFL, and his experience, his knowledge, and then having that foundation in our scheme with Vic, you know, I'm excited to team up with him and our other coaches. We've got a really special staff that we're forming here, and I, you know, certainly the foundation, Rich, will be those tenants that you saw, but again, you know, that team that we had with the Rams, you know, is going to be, you know, it's different than the one that we have here with the Chargers, so but I think those staples, those foundational pieces will definitely be there. And that's why I think, you know, Rich, when you look at it from a total team perspective, mm-hmm. the way we play on offense and the way we play on defense, they match up. You know, and I think that's so important. You know, the teams that stand the test of time, you know, they align in all three phases. And that was really important to me in this process.
Well, Brandon, I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school with you since you were also right here in Los Angeles. And, you know, you might be an observer of this, but I have to ask this question on behalf of all Chargers fans. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of Chargers games end weirdly. They're kind of weird. They kind of go sideways. And a lot of those times are because sometimes their coaches have some clock management issues or decisions that are made in the final 2 minutes. It's your first head coaching rodeo. How do you plan to game plan for stuff like that? Like, what's your preparation that you can put out on the table here that can maybe ease some of the Chargers fans' jangled nerves when the clock hits 2 minutes in a tight game for them?
Yeah, Chris, I think that, you know, Rich, I think it's such a great point.
Thank you.
You have to surround yourself with a team of teams, you know, on your staff. You have to have a line of communication that connects all three phases of the game. And then you have to have, you know, you have to tie in your analytics and your coaching staff together. I think that what this movement in the last 5 to 7 years has kind of expressed is that it's really about decision making. And not that you're going to make a perfect decision, but that you can live with your decision making process. And there's so many decisions that happen quickly that you can actually be ahead of if you prepared for them during the week. You can kind of, you know, those things. And And I think that that's where the NFL has really changed in the last 5 to 7 years. And I think us just having a very consistent and streamlined way of communicating on game day is a great place to start. And I think that our staff and our setup will represent that. And, you know, as my first time as a head coach, Rich, you know that you don't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why, you know, leaning on the experiences of our coordinators, of our analytics personnel department, you know, we just have to, you know, put together a really, you know, sharp setup and one that, you know, doesn't just show up on game day, Rich.
Yeah.
It's a part of every day with the Chargers. It's set up like that. So, you know, these things that happen aren't happening for the first time when it's live.
Well, I guess, you know, in that respect, like, do you game out analytics to the point where, like, let's just say it's fourth and goal from the 8-yard line and you're down 8. And you choose to kick a field goal instead of allowing your quarterback to go for it on 4th and 8 against Tom Brady. I'm just throwing these things out there. Do you make that decision to kick the field goal, or do you go for it, Brandon Staley? What do you do?
Well, number one, I love the creativity that you just kind of imagined that situation. You know,
I'm just plucking things out of the air. You know what I mean? I'm just plucking things. You know.
So, and I can sense that maybe there's a rhetorical nature to that question.
No, how about this, though? No, but how about this, though? Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't Sean McVay against Tom Brady and the Bucs turn it over to your defense to close it out this year? Didn't that happen this year? If I'm not mistaken?
He did.
Uh-huh.
And we did close it out.
Yes, you did. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is actually happening. It's so rare to see that. But I guess you would leave it to your defense then.
No, I think, listen, I think that number one, as you know, there's just so much respect for people around the league, right? You're never going to, you know, judge or, you know, the advantage of hindsight, as we all know. But I think that in that circumstance, even if you've studied in the last couple of days, the actual analytics of that decision, it wasn't like it was like a no-brainer. If you really study what the people have, you know, at least what I've read, it's not like it was like a no-brainer decision. Either way, I think it was a tight one, and I think it just kind of depends on probably what your position is. And, you know, I think that, you know, in that moment, you know, with Justin Herbert, you know, you'd love to give him a chance to compete. And then if it doesn't go down, you got 3 timeouts in the 2 minutes. They got 92 yards to go. It probably their aggressiveness because of their field position, and then hopefully you can get the ball back with good field position and a chance to finish it.
Before I let you go, Brandon Staley, as you know, it's a full house there in SoFi. You went from the Rams to the Chargers. I don't know if you're aware, but NFL Network is coming there in 2021. So I have to ask you, and I know that this is precious real estate with a head coach in the NFL, but it's important to me. How's the parking there? Is it good?
Hey,
the parking situation.
Rich, I've got to be totally transparent. I took the bus down there every single day. Did not drive down.
Come on.
So I have no ability to assess that question. Zero.
Zero.
I just know that it's an awesome venue.
Okay. So you know that, but in terms of you can't assess the parking situation. So that mean I can't
I can't assess the traffic, pandemic. No clue about like real LA traffic. You know, I can't comment on that either.
Right.
So I'm a poor resource when it comes to that.
Okay. So who gets the spot next to the stadium? You or McVay? I mean, let's be honest now. What do you think? Who gets that spot?
Well, maybe we can shoot some free throws for it this summer.
Oh, you know? Are you a good free throw shooter too? Is that what you're saying, Coach? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying there's ways we could figure it out.
Okay. Well, always competing. I understand. But if you see my car there, just understand, you know, I've been around the NFL about 18 years. So,
I got to tell you this, Rich, too. My twin brother is like, besides you, is like one of the biggest Michigan fans in the world.
Growing up in Ohio?
Yeah. So our high school coach played at Michigan for Bo, though. So our high school, you know, fight song was the Victors. Like, so, you know.
I'm liking you even more,
yeah.
Brandon.
So my brother, you know, wanted me to give the big shout out and the go blue. So
right back at him. Thanks for the call, Coach. Appreciate it. Hope this first of many times. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rich.
You got it. That's Brandon Staley. Does not know about the parking situation in SoFi. What gives, man?
Took the bus.
Well, I'm sure they just, you know, they got up there in Thousand Oaks where the Rams facilities and just, you know, brought them in. And you take the bus and you go back.
Wow.
You know, Chris Brockman, Del Tufo as well. Parking situation in the NFL network. Oh boy.
Oh, worse.
I had a spot though that I used to get up on the top.
Oh yeah, you got a spot on the top, huh?
On the top deck, I used to have a guy to carry.
Look at Brockman's face. How the hell did he get a spot on the top?
Unless you worked like the 3 a.m. shift.
I had a guy.
You couldn't get a spot.
I knew terrible. A guy.
So basically, they had to blow up a casino in order to get good spots for us.
Pretty
I'm assuming. Can't suss out the parking situation.
Racetrack.
All right, when we come back, your phone call is 844-204-RICH. And yes, in advance of Michelle Tafoya joining us about her podcast on Kobe Bryant and the one-year anniversary of his passing. We recall the day that we sat down with Kobe a couple years ago. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's a pretty special soundbite. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this busy edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls in a second. Chris Brockman, do you have the news? I mean, the update on our poll question over there.
Do
you have that, please?
I do. So we're looking at Brady and LeBron, just comparing these two still playing, still active GOATs. Who's more impressive doing what they're doing at their age?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, LeBron James. 68%.
Yes.
TB12.
Okay. Guy's in the Super Bowl. It's 10th. So, I mean, it's insane.
18% of all Super Bowls feature Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Right. And what is it about? I'm just saying off the top of my head. I'm sure I'm wrong. 32 of them or 34 of them were played before he played in any of them?
Well, 36.
Which one was, 36, which was 36, his first
35,
one?
35?
36. That's right.
35 were played.
35 were played before he played in
36
one.
36 is his first.
And he's in 18% of them.
Yeah. Of all,
right?
Of all.
That's unreal.
Unreal.
Let's go to Nathan in L.A. We'll take your phone call. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, good to talk to you again.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. I couldn't help but think, and I've thought this since they became Super Bowl participants.
Yes.
Can you think of two more kindred spirit individuals as coaches than Bruce Arians and Andy Reid?
You know what? I again, they're definitely from a similar age group. Arians is about 6 years older than Andy Reid, but they are two guys that have been there, done that, obviously, and have been a head coach before. But Arians decided he was done in Arizona.
Yeah.
Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia, and both of them are out of the proverbial you know what's to give, you know? So they're all out of those to give, essentially. And they're basically no risk it, no biscuit, nonstop, going for it on fourth down wherever they are. They've got weapons all over the place and two terrific offensive coordinators at their sides helping dial up the plays and figure out what the playbook is. And thanks for the call, Nathan. I think that's not a bad comparison. And you're going to hear these comparisons all next week, too. But Arians never won one. And Reed's trying to get his second. In a row, by the way. Belichick's the last coach to do it. Before that was Mike Shanahan. That's it. That's it in the last quarter century of football. It could be Reed, Belichick, Shanahan. That's it.
You think Mike gets in eventually?
Why? I don't know why he's not even on that list just yet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, he was part of the Bill Walsh coaching tree, and then he got that shot with the Raiders way too soon, I guess.
I guess.
Oh, my gosh. So, back in 2018, we, you know, reached out to Kobe Bryant, said we'd love to – well, for when we first came on the air, 2014, we wanted Kobe on. He called in every now and then, but I got the chance to sit down with him in 2018 in advance of 8/24, 2018. LeBron had just arrived in Los Angeles that summer. He had just arrived in Los Angeles the month before. If you remember, it was a July day when he
I think it was the 4th of July.
Showed up in a private jet and everything, and it was just a release. They didn't do anything on that day big. It was just a press release. He's coming. He's here. And then the conversation was all over the place about how in the world is he going to be a real Laker, right? How in the world can this guy who was a Cav, then a Heat, then a Cav, now he's a Laker? We know he's coming here for his movie and television businesses anyway. How's he going to actually win here? And does he need to win here? And how quickly does he need to win here? And all that business. And there was a red-hot rumor that Kobe might even think for 2 seconds, come out of retirement, right?
Come back.
All that was the backdrop when I went down to Orange County, and he's like, he said, yes, come on in. Had a camera crew set up. It was in his offices of his production company, which had just, as you know, with his Dear Basketball letter, won an Oscar.
No big deal.
Okay. That was your backdrop to me sitting down with Kobe Bryant.
When I spoke to Jeannie, she said that she would have you do anything you'd like for the Lakers franchise. Has she communicated that to you?
Yeah.
Okay, she has. Yeah. Even a rumor that you might consider even maybe coming out of retirement to play one more time for the Lakers.
Right.
I see you're laughing.
Yeah.
There's nothing to that, right?
There's about a 0% chance that I come back and play.
So not even like a...
Nothing.
Zero. You're toast. You're finished.
Done.
As a player.
That's it.
Did last year at any point with you going through your first season not playing basketball?
Never.
Not once did you think about it?
Never. Here's the thing. Is for us athletes, it's really hard to transition from that. Right? And I was really personal about it when I wrote Dear Basketball. But that is the true challenge of finding what comes next and finding something that you love to do every bit as much as you love your first passion. That is a challenge for us. And I think... Unfortunately for us athletes, we've been pigeonholed into thinking that we can only be one thing. And so when I retire and everybody is saying, okay, he's too competitive, he's not going to know what to do with himself, he's going to have to come back. I took that as a personal challenge of them thinking I'm this one-dimensional person that all I know is how to dribble a ball, shoot the ball, and play basketball and compete at that level. And so I took that as a personal challenge. I will never come back to the game, ever. I'm here to show people that we can do much more than that. And creating this business, winning an Oscar, winning the Emmy and the Annie, those are things that are showing other athletes that come after, no, no, there's more to this thing, right? So I would never, it's not even a thought.
So the goal was an EGOT? You want the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar,
no,
the Tony?
The challenge became, how do I take the lessons that I learned through the game of basketball and translate them into building the studio, right? What are the things that I can take from that? The discipline, the commitment, the team and community, how do you get the best out of each other? How do I take those lessons and move those here? That is the challenge. How do we do great work, uncompromising great work? You're not looking at the bottom line. You're focused on the product first, right? Is this the best thing that we can possibly make, no matter what? And having that sharp focus is something that I got from the game of basketball.
You know, and he was saying, too, as we're remembering the day that he and his daughter, Gianna, passed away with seven others on that helicopter. He was talking about how he had everything set up, too, that he knew that the next thing was coming out, I believe he mentioned, was a podcast. And we do have the Mamba Mentality coffee table book. Susie got it because she's, you know, she's known Kobe a lot longer than I did, actually. I mean, I first met Kobe on that SportsCenter commercial set he came in, and Stuart Scott and I were in a break room, and we were watching him buy chips from a machine, a vending machine, and we were all talking about how he was doing everything like Michael.
Yeah.
You know, that was the that was the gag. And, you know, I just met him that day. But Susie had, was covering him. My wife was covering him out here in Los Angeles when he and Shaq and Phil were going through their three-ring circus, as Jeff Perlman has called it in his excellent book on those days. And saw Kobe 2 days before I got married in New York City, ran into him in New York City. And Susie's like, hey, do you want to come to the wedding? And he's like, I would, but I got to leave tomorrow. Oof. So Michael Irvin was the one at the wedding in the blue, the electric blue tuxedo, because Susie invited him. I didn't know him at the time either. But the reason why I bring all this up is that, you know, he had it all mapped out. He had it all ready to go and mapped out, that the podcast and the coffee table book, and then there was going to be other productions in the hopper. He said he had it mapped out 2-3 years down the road. Like when he said that he had a plan and he wanted to bring us, he wanted to bring a plan, like the basketball world, to his studio, is referred to it. Like it was all ready to go. And, you know, that's why when, you know, later on in 2019, you know, we want to have him on again. And it's just like, well, we just did you in 2018. We'll have you on for X, Y, and Z when it comes out. Like, he had everything mapped out. He had all his appearances mapped out. He had his whole business plan mapped out. He had all of the different products he wanted to have associated with his brand and his production company, all mapped out. Ripped away from us. All of us. What a shame. No other way to put it. And then, of course, who his daughter was becoming. Everyone who knew her and knew what Kobe was pouring into her as a girl dad. And how terrific she was becoming at the sport and all of that. You know. Just rips you. It just literally rips my guts out every time I think about it. 1 year ago today. It really was, I think, right about now when I was in the airport, because my flight was taking off at 2 Eastern, 11 in the morning Pacific. It was right around now that my phone started going off. And I called Susie up and I told her, and she's like, she couldn't believe it. We all thought it has to be, let's hope it's false, or, you know, that there's going to be some sort of miracle survival rate or what have you. But then I looked out the window and I just saw there was fog everywhere. I couldn't believe my flight was taking off to the Super Bowl that day. Oh, my word. Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio, on the NBC Sports on Peacock app. If you want to see us, that's how you can see us. Michelle Tafoya of NBC Sports has her podcast goes in a deep dive on a single subject. And Kobe Bryant is her latest podcast. My favorite Kobe story on Sports Uncovered with Michelle Tafoya, who's our next guest, before the actor Aldis Hodge joins us in a moment.